When the Moon Rises by Tony Davis. Behind and above me in the light of the full moon rose the shoulder of Two Tree Hill, shorn of its characteristic topknot since being taken by the London Irish with appalling losses a couple of days before. Below and ahead somewhere lay the Germans, inspired with renewed purpose since the arrival in Tunisia of General von Arnim. It was 2 o'clock on the morning of 16th of January, 1943. This was the period immediately after the great 3 weeks' reign, when the Allies, with a firm foothold on the Algerian coast, had tried and failed to take Tunis at a single stroke. The rain, grounding aircraft and halting tanks, had seen to that. Now faced with a regrouped and determined German army, we seemed fated to fight out the winter in the Tunisian hills around Medjez el Bab. The Honourable Artillery Company Regiment, of which I was a junior member, had only been in North Africa for 2 months. We left Britain in November and landed in Algiers after the first wave of the invasion was successfully ashore. From there we'd been shipped by destroyer under constant air attack to Beaune, where we'd picked up our vehicles and joined up with the French Foreign Legion. A large-scale German tank attack had been successfully repulsed, and then for 3 weeks of continuous downpour we stuck. The RAF, with no all-weather airfields within reach, couldn't help us, and the Stuka dive bombers plastered us regularly and without serious interference. It was a galling time. Then came the assault on Two Tree Hill. We were not directly involved, which in a way made it worse. The Germans were well dug in, and we watched the London Irish move slowly forward, being strafed by Heinkels and suffering a steady drain of casualties. In the final attack, which took them to the summit and drove the enemy out, they were decimated. It was because they were in such poor shape that I'd been sent up with a signaller to help out as forward observation officer. And there we were now, scanning the shadowed valley with every nerve alert. Then everything happened with sudden speed. A tank came lurching up and opened fire on my slit trench. The signaller beside me was killed, and a second later I was hit in the back of the head. The impact sent me reeling. I was aware of blinding pain and of copious blood pouring down my neck and soaking into my shirt. I lay where I'd fallen, and I was quite certain that I was a goner. As it turned out, I wasn't. And in time I found myself being gently carried downhill by two German paras. Almost worse than death, I realized I was a prisoner. Now, this sounds like a hyperbole, but it isn't. The Honourable Artillery Company, which traces its origins back to the Guild of St. George, established in the City of London in 1537, was one of the oldest and proudest formations one could belong to. It combined the battle readiness of the guards with an almost Japanese preference for death rather than dishonour. And in the comparatively short time I'd been with them, I'd become thoroughly inculcated with their special brand of pride. So it may be understood that I was a mortally depressed individual as I was lugged downhill towards a field hospital in captivity. As soon as I recovered, I had only one preoccupation, and that was to escape. My wound turned out to be superficial, despite my premonitions of doom and death. It seemed that as a result of an agreement between the Axis partners, we were to spend our captivity in Italy. There remained, however, the slight problem of getting us there. Our first prison cage was an enormous garage near the docks. There were about 1,000 other prisoners there, 500 British and 500 French, the latter mainly Foreign Legion.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?